Love your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe Mbakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
And we do walk the talk and carry on with our focus on health. This past Wednesday was World Health Day, and the WHO, the World Health Organization, is this year calling on leaders, global leaders, to address health inequities and to ensure that everyone has secure living and working conditions that enable them to live a healthy life and enables them to thrive and access quality health services when and where they need them. Sure. Boy, oh boy, has COVID really made glaring those disparities and inequities in our societies when it comes to healthcare, right? But to talk more about this, World Health Day, as well as this year's theme, is our resident doctor, Fundile Nyathi, as well as CEO of Proactive Health Solutions. Good morning, Dr. Nyathi.
Good morning, Refilwe, and good morning to your listeners.
So, Dr. Nyathi, obviously the WHO has got its own set of recommendations and suggestions about how to put equity at the heart of healthcare, but more specifically at the heart of our COVID-19 recovery plans. What were they?
Well, look, I think what is very, very important is for us to realize that before COVID, there were already serious inequities across the world. Inequities between countries, you know, between regions or continents, but also within countries. But what COVID-19 has done is to actually expose those, even where they were covered lightly, you know, it has now exposed those things, because what has been found then is that in the past 80 months or so of COVID-19, the inequities from a social and economic point of view have directly translated to health inequities, meaning then those people with social and economic challenges have been found to be more at risk when it comes to COVID-19. And that is translated to not only the number of infections in those more vulnerable societies or communities, but also translating to the number of deaths. And this is the case across the world. If you're looking at the UK, for example, or Europe, they talk of BAME, that is blacks and other minority, you know, ethnic groups. They have been disproportionately affected, that is globally. If you talk the U.S., the black Americans, Afro-Americans, Afro-Asians. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes.
So basically, the point here is that the inequities have actually translated to poor health outcomes.
I guess, you know, a large chunk of the conversation there, or the report put out by the World Health Organization, you know, focusing on the term and the concept of deprivation as a risk factor for COVID-19 infection in and of itself and early loss of life. So what it speaks to is, you know, they're fundamentally compelling governments to just do better on a holistic basis, on an all-round basis. I mean, we know that we saw protests in London, Nigerian expats essentially, you know, protesting the fact that Muhammadu Buhari, Nigerian president, went to the UK on a medical trip. And, you know, they were saying, listen, if all Nigerians can't get to UK NHS, you don't deserve it either, Buhari, go home. So governments being compelled to actually do their jobs, what they've been voted into office for.
Yes, exactly. You know, we've seen a lot of, prominent people or political leaders, you know, who will leave their countries with poor health systems and try and access those in the developed world. But so this whole thing about this World Health Day on the 7th of July, of April, it was actually then saying every country must look at strengthening the core, you know, the core of their healthcare systems, so that everybody can have access to healthcare. Our national minister actually, at the webinar on the same day, mentioned that no one must be left behind. In South Africa, we have seen how the inequity before COVID and also during COVID have actually caused so much of poor health outcomes.
Sure.
And it is something that we need to address and address urgently.
What are the five main drivers of health inequities that the World Health Organization identified?
Well, they've identified deprivation or poverty. That's one.
Sure.
That is those cases with more poverty and deprivation, they are less likely to access healthcare services, and therefore they are more likely to be infected and die.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is issues of gender. Gender inequities, whereby, the majority of healthcare workers or caring professions are actually females. And that has also translated that when you look at the number of, people who are infected, who are healthcare workers, it's largely female. And so that is where things, and also the people who are caring for others is largely female,
mm-hmm.
And then race and ethnicity. I've already mentioned
yes.
the issue of BAME, in Europe, where poor health outcomes amongst blacks and other minority ethnic groups. The issue of people who are in detention or receiving care, or people who are in congregate, places like, long-term care facilities. But also in South Africa, we've also seen that amongst the people with disabilities, they've also been affected badly. So it's another area where we are seeing health inequities and people, who have got comorbid disorders.
Sure. Dr. Nyathi, what I was really interested in, and it's not necessarily covered in this report, but an interesting article in The Citizen yesterday, looking at, the effects of COVID-19 and the fallout from COVID-19 as it pertains to women and pregnancy and children. But this was a South African study showing an increase of 30% maternal deaths during lockdown. This was between April last year and September compared to the same period of 2019. And, it unpacks just the really big impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the health of pregnant women and their babies. And they did a review of data from 40 studies from 17 countries. But I mean, they look at things like outcomes for women and children and were worse in low and middle income countries than in high income countries. And what struck me was the fact that stillbirths and maternal mortality rates increased by almost a third during the pandemic. This, this pandemic really has had a huge impact. Yes, it's laid bare. It's laid bare the inequities and the structural problems that we had before. But, just the very fact that people were avoiding hospitals, were avoiding clinics if they could, because they just did not want to have to deal with the possibility of getting infected with COVID-19. It's really scary stuff.
Yes. I mean, that's the latest evidence, from a long string of other, findings. I mean, we had the same thing from the Ministry of Health last year about the HIV. People were taking treatment for HIV. We've also had the same thing about people were taking medicines for, things like hypertension and diabetes. And now we are talking about, the impact on pregnant mothers. And in fact, even beyond the fact that they are scared to go to facilities and therefore they didn't get optimal care, the virus itself, when it does affect a pregnant woman, it tends to cause a higher level of stillborns, and births before the time.
Sure.
So that impact is something that really, really, highlights the problems that we are finding in society. And then in the South African context, you add GBV there as well. So, yes, it's something that is really of concern. It's something that should make any caring country to actually do something about it.
We've spoken a lot about telemedicine and just the opportunity that technology presents to do things differently, to give people healthcare services or even support differently. How are we looking in terms of, as a country, how are we looking in terms of using technology and how we start to think about moving forward, we can support and should support pregnant women, other anybody needing healthcare services, using the best, you know, easy to access technology, but widely access technology.
Yes, again, you know, I mean, we're talking health inequity now, but actually behind that, you know, is the social and the economic inequity. Now, if you look at a country like South Africa, for somebody who is staying in and around Joburg, Pretoria, Cape Town, you know, telemedicine would work perfectly, you know, because, you know, access to bandwidth and stable, you know, kind of connections, it's not a problem.
Sure.
But if you then think about Limpopo or Eastern Cape or KwaZulu-Natal, you know, whilst telemedicine has been found to have been a great revelation everywhere else in the world, in South Africa, we have not really optimized that because of the challenges around connectivity. So we need to, you know, strengthen and build the broadband, you know, connectivity in those outlying areas so that the specialists and other, you know, people who are in the more affluent societies are able to support, you know, the frontline doctors and nurses in the remote areas. But at this moment, even if that is something that we know can benefit them, the lack of infrastructure is the biggest, you know, challenge.
Sure. So we've looked at how poverty and race and income levels can affect people, put them more at risk, and gender can put them more at risk for COVID-19. In terms of the WHO suggestions or recommendations, what else have they laid out in making sure that we reset, as they say, to a fairer, more equitable way of providing health to citizens? Any sense of a national sort of NHI type program that has worked successfully in other countries? Do they look at, you know, health systems and how countries dispatch healthcare to their citizens?
Actually, you know, in their recommendations on how to reset, you know, so that everybody has got, you know, equitable access to healthcare, which, by the way, in the South African context, it's part of our constitution, section 27, you know, universal access for everybody. So, it is their first recommendation that barriers to access, poor quality access, you know, financial hardships, and all of those things. So health systems need to be built to be much more resilient to deal with the issues of COVID now, but also to be much more prepared for future pandemics, because this is not going to be the last pandemic that we are going to have. So yes, and as a result of that, in the same webinar on the 7th of April, our national minister actually said it is important that we move with haste because there's been delays in the processes towards the NHI, the legislative processes, and they are now going to fast-track that. But also the region director for WHO, that is for Africa, you know, Dr. Matshidiso Moeti, also said the same thing, that there needs to be a move towards universal health access, and commended South Africa for the steps that they have already taken, you know, towards that direction, because it is becoming clear that as much as others would argue that at this point there isn't money to do that, but countries that have had some form of universal health care, you know, in their countries, they have done better than countries without any universal healthcare. So yes, NHI is definitely one of the things that needs to be put in place to address the health inequities, so that your level of income or where you're staying in the country should not determine whether you're going to have access to healthcare or not. I mean, we have Eastern Cape, for example, having the highest number of deaths per 100,000, you know, in the country. And the reason for that is that it's got the worst healthcare system and therefore worst healthcare access in this country. So, and also you see the same thing with Free State Province and also KZN. So yes, there can no longer be any argument about the need for universal health coverage in this country, that is NHI.
And having said all of that, however, Dr. Nyati, obviously we can't have a conversation around the need for universal healthcare access and systems without addressing, you know, the real problem at the root of many of these provinces that you've just mentioned, which is corruption. So the political will, first of all, to root out corruption, because it won't be enough to just say we've got NHI, we've got this NHI system in our country, and not address the fact that it is the corruption, the greed, the disregard for citizens and the duty of care that politicians have and politicians have. So we've got a big, big problem in having this NHI conversation.
There are historical issues pre-94, and we can blame them, but we also have had 26 years or 27 years since then to address the problems. And corruption, mismanagement, malfeasance, and all of those things have also been problems, especially in these largely rural provinces. And so we can no longer just blame colonialism and apartheid. No, there's a lot that needs to be addressed from a governance point of view. And the political will is very much needed to deal with those leaders who actually profit from the suffering of the people.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It just shows how, greed can just destroy so much and destroy the gains made, right? And ultimately just take our eye off the real issue at hand.
Yes, I mean, just Eastern Cape now, I'm just highlighting them. In the middle of the pandemic, they had some corruption, relating to the scooters.
Scooter ambulances.
For example.
Yeah.
And so the Public Protector Office has actually found against them. And this is just one of many. We can talk about the PPEs, even here in Gauteng and many other things, and even in the Defence Force, for that matter. The issue of them importing medication that was not even approved and where there are issues. So really, the issue of corruption is something so prevalent across all levels of our government, and it is something that is actually going to be a problem as we want to move to that NHI.
Yeah. Before I let you go, Dr. Nyati, going back to this year's theme as prescribed by the World Health Organization for World Health Day, they're talking about putting equity at the heart of our COVID-19 recovery. Any sense of, how the WHO is going to be prioritizing their workload, due to COVID-19, I understand that they're going to be monitoring the strengthening of equity in health systems, and they'll be a core element of that work. Do they address at all things like long COVID or long haul COVID? Because that's another new phenomenon that the world is trying to get to grips with, and we're still really trying to unpack what this COVID-19 pandemic will have left us with, right, for those that have had the illness and survived it.
Well, I mean, they are acknowledging, the need, as part of the research to actually build those resilient, healthcare systems. But they are not specific. They talk in general, not only about COVID-19, but also infectious diseases and also, non-communicable diseases. So their key message is relook your healthcare systems, build the core competencies, and also address the issue of human resources for health, address the issue of the infrastructure. So they are talking broadly, not only to benefit COVID-19 people, but also to benefit all people who need healthcare. But within that are the new phenomena like, the long COVID, which is actually causing a lot of, suffering for so many people who thought they had recovered from the disease.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. That's Dr. Fundile Nyati, the CEO of Proactive Health Solutions. We're talking World Health Day, which is observed on the 7th of April, every year.